So there's a lot of people walking around and they think, I'm just tired. No, it's your environment. And it could be toxins from man-made things, but it's much more likely to be toxic mold. What I oftentimes ask people, oh, yeah, I just gained 25 pounds in the last 6 months. I go, when did you move? I go, 6 months ago. Where's the water stain in your house? Oh, it's on the ceiling. It's predictable. The worst thing is sometimes you can't see it. And this is where testing your environment might be more important than testing your blood, but you can do both.
70% of homes today have toxic levels of mold. How can people get it out? It's a big expense. It's a big hurdle. We can dehumidify. We can spray it. There's good chemicals out there today, but what's the answer here?
If your home is full of mold and you're sick, you need to move. And my biggest request, if you have mold in your home, don't move.
Synthetic candles with synthetic fragrances are probably one of the most toxic things you can burn inside of your home. Not only are the particles that come off of those candles toxic, but those fragrances link to even diabetes and, of course, allergies, asthma, and they're also linked to the Big C. Guys, they're one of the most toxic things you can have in your home, fragrance in particular, candles, because they're also putting off toxic particles. So I partnered with the Fontana Candle Company, and the candle that we created is called Uplift. And it did take a year to do a combination of rosemary, which has those neuroprotective effects, also helping your mood and focus and memory, along with ginger, which is very energizing as well, and vetiver, which is very earthy and grounding and gives you focus, and as well as sweet orange, a very grounding, centering essential oil. And this created a really balanced synergy, so when you burn this, you actually feel it. You're gonna wanna do more. You become more focused, more energized. At least that happens for me, and I believe it'll happen for you. So if you go to FontanaCandleCompany.com, you can find this new Uplift candle by Non-Toxic Dad and get it at the biggest discount they offer, 20% off, using the code Non-Toxic Dad. Dave Asprey, honored to have you on the show. When I first heard of you, you were just getting started on this journey, maybe probably 5 years in, and my buddy brought you your name. Do you know Dave Asprey? He's like this amazing guy. He's doing all this stuff. You got to meet him. I talked to him on the phone. I'm doing consults with him. I didn't know who you are. I was kind of stuck in the functional medicine space, and we were teaching doctors. Biohacking, I never even heard of it before. You've created it. And he starts showing me some of the stuff that you knew that you were doing, and it was mind-blowing. You really knew what the hell you were doing. It was Mark Hyman that really impressed me. And then some of the stuff that you were doing, it's like, this guy actually knows what the hell he's talking about. So this is super exciting, coming full circle. My buddy Ron Esposito had to pay for when you were still doing phone consults.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't do those anymore.
No, you do not.
Not enough time.
But you actually remember this. I mean, He's a wonderful soul, Ronnie. He still loves you and appreciates you. And that started me on the Dave Asprey journey. And here we are.
Well, thanks, man. I'm not a doctor. I just set out from running a longevity nonprofit. Like, why does no one under 60 ever show up? This stuff gives everyone power. And I became an expert because I weighed 300 pounds and I had chronic fatigue and all sorts of stuff wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to make functional medicine cool. And that's what biohacking was about. It's longevity, functional medicine. So it's not about
that.
For sick people, it's for people to become more powerful. And that drives people to be proactive.
Yeah, I love that. It's really hard. I mean, in the functional medicine space, I give them a lot of credit. Sick people are the mindset. There's so much involved there, but it's nice taking someone who's relatively healthy, entrepreneurial, or an athlete and really optimizing their health. And that's fun. We need both sides. You've definitely elevated this piece to with the new technologies and things come out to a really powerful level. We are going to talk about today something that's near and dear to both our hearts. We're going to come back to those sick people, those people that are suffering.
Yep.
You talk about the fun stuff all the time. You're optimizing things like crazy lately. It's really cool what you talk about, the different types of testosterone that you can take to elevate your health. I haven't done that yet. We'll talk about that someday. I have questions for you, not on this show, but I have questions, lots of questions. But mold, it took your life. It took my life and so many other people's lives. You've done a documentary on it. I just released Homesick Home, which is a docuseries, and two of the episodes are on mold. And when Pedram came to me on this, my freaking home made me sick.
Oh my God.
So I was so pissed off. And that's why I'm like, sure, I'll invest $1 million and let's go. Let's take this to the world. Because if your home's not safe, you can do all the biohacking you want. Mm-hmm. You can do all the things. And biohacking is making your home safe. Let's make that clear. But getting your home safe, getting it free of mold, EMF, magnetic fields, it affects your sleep, all of it. Let's talk Moldy, which was the name of your docuseries.
So moldymovie.com.
Moldy movie, yeah.
It's free. And what I did is I figured out in the late 90s I had toxic mold poisoning. There was no medical help for this. People didn't believe in it.
Not in the 90s.
No. And the way I found out was I was allergic to 8 of the top 10 most noxious indoor toxic molds. I'm like, well, that's a pretty good sign I've been exposed to them and have all the symptoms. So I did climb my way out of it, and I had to learn a lot of functional medicine and a lot of other stuff that's environmental. And eventually the biohacking movement emerged, and I gave it that name because I wanted it to be non-medical. Because what I learned from helping so many people with mold is that people with mold, our brains don't work.
Mm-mm.
Right? You can't follow through on stuff. You can't think about stuff. Everything feels like it's a mountain. And I'm fully recovered. I lived in a house that had 42 water leaks accidentally. I lived there for 4 months. I didn't get sick. Okay. It wasn't great for me, but I didn't get sick. My brain didn't go away. I was functional. My emotions were fine. That's how recovered you can be. But most people who've been exposed to toxic mold, it wrecks you. Like, it's ruined marriages.
It does.
It's messed up kids. I had Asperger's syndrome as a kid, probably from living in a moldy basement when I was very young. And I say I had it because you can reverse it. It's just a lot of work. But I did the documentary because I don't want people to go through what I went through, which is you go to the doctor and they tell you you're crazy. So I'm like, what if a dozen doctors with top credentials said, this is real, and then a dozen people like you and me saying, I was a hedge fund manager, I moved in a moldy building and I couldn't work anymore. And this is happening in 100 million structures in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And part of my journey was understanding different toxins, what they do, where they come from. And I'm happy to talk about all that. But what was most painful for me was I had to give up coffee. So for 5 years, I didn't drink coffee. Because every time I drink it, I get a kick. And then an hour later, I'd feel like anxiety and like tightness in my chest and sugar cravings.
Tightness in your throat, choked by your shirt.
Yeah. And
epinephrine or something.
Yeah. It's probably a histamine response. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I guess I can't drink it. And I came back from a trip to Tibet and I had a cup of coffee and I felt amazing. Like the angels sang, it was good. And the next day I had another cup of coffee, also high end from a different place. And I felt all the symptoms. I go, wait, I couldn't have got allergic to coffee in one day. It's the coffee. And I just went deep on it. I'm like, oh my God, most of the world has regulations about the amount of mold that's allowed in coffee because it's a known problem, but not the US. And at this point, somewhere in my archives, I have a former president of the Specialty Coffee Association. This is like the largest coffee industry group, on video on my plantation saying, I was in Japan when they rejected 1,000 shipping containers of coffee because it was too moldy. I said, what'd you do with it? He said, we sent it to the US because it's not illegal there. And this is real.
Yeah.
And there's 36 studies, and this is just in coffee. I'm gonna go to all the food and environmental stuff in a minute. 36 studies showing it's present, it survives roasting, and it survives brewing, and it's present in the cup. And the kind of toxin that's common in coffee is common in other stored things like grains. It's also in beer and wine. And for some reason, we just don't have any government protection in the US. Oh, wait, that's a pretty common thing right now when it comes to all the environmental stuff. But like, I can solve this problem because I love coffee. So I went about that, and people know me from starting Bulletproof. I'm not involved with the company anymore. And my new coffee company is called Danger Coffee. Mm-hmm. And it is truly lab tested, mold free. And I add electrolytes and trace minerals that bind to mold toxins that could be present in your gut and other toxins. So I'm remineralizing when I drink it. But if I drink a normal cup of coffee, I still get that feeling. And why? That feeling is because coffee, a lot of it contains something called OTA, ochratoxin A.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you care about ochratoxin A? Well, it's an aflatoxin in coffee, not so much. But you see that in grains and peanuts and nuts and other vegetables. But why would you care about ochratoxin A in your coffee? It's because it's a direct mitochondrial poison. And it causes bladder irritation and even bladder cancer. And if you've ever had a cup of coffee and you have to pee afterwards, but your bladder's not full, you got moldy coffee. Because coffee is actually hydrating. when there's not mold in it. But if there's something that's toxic to your kidneys, the body's going to say, you have to pee, you have to pee. So we're all getting exposed to this, and you probably won't get rid of it, but don't get rid of it entirely, but you can minimize it. Even worse, that OTA toxin that's in coffee is also present in a moldy home. And I've lived in a moldy home multiple times in my life. So once you get sensitized to it, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
And I just have to say this, it's called danger coffee because who knows what you might do? Like, it's the kind of danger, like, I have so much energy, I could do anything.
Ah, now I see.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you the name and how that was came about.
I felt weak when I had toxic mold. And no one wants to feel like I just have no power, I have no energy. I guess I'm peaceful because I'm just exhausted. I want the kind of peace that comes from people being, I could do anything, and I'm choosing to be peaceful.
You are Tom Cruise. That's right, Iceman. I am dangerous.
Nice. I forgot.
You can use this. Your Top Gun line. You can use it now. And that's how you can connect people emotionally to your cop.
I love it.
Because you're dangerous. And and he was. He was an amazing human in that movie. And his fighter pilot. So anyway, they probably drank coffee. Maybe the wrong kind.
I think it was probably the wrong kind.
And the chances are.
It's funny because, you know, I have had a lifelong love affair with coffee. This is the caffeine molecule on my bicep. And yes, it's a carbon black tattoo to minimize the toxins in the tattoo ink.
You're a good man.
Only tattoo,
good.
So I'm not paying attention. But mold, it's in every kind of stored food and some other foods. And here's how mold works in our agriculture system. You can have field toxins. This is mold that grows in the food as it's growing. And then you have storage toxins, which is mold that grows on the food after it's harvested. And it's such a problem that there are actually like global mold weather maps for the food supply. Like, oh, corn grown in this part of Europe has this level of toxins this year. And if there's a drought or a flood or it's too hot, too cold, it affects which species grow and what toxins we get. So since the whole industry is tracking this, let's ask, does mold really matter for human health? To do that, let's look at ranchers. Well, ranchers figured out if they feed moldy feed to cows and pigs, they lose a third of the pregnant animals. They can't carry their pregnancy to full term. They realized, let's take the moldy food and feed it to the animals right before humans get to eat them, because who cares if they get sick? Right. And now, does that mean those mold toxins are in the animal's fat especially? Yes. This is why I recommend grass-fed meat instead of grain-fed and corn-fed, because the ranchers really do this. And some of the toxins that mold forms are really noxious. There's one called zearalenone. This is a potent xenoestrogen. I mean, it's like human estrogen, but it's artificial, made by mold. Well, it's 10,000 times more estrogenic than human estrogen. And those same non-organic, non-grass-fed ranchers figured out if you put a little waxy pellet of zearalenone in the cow's ear, it'll melt into the cow's fat, and the cow will get fat on 30% less calories. So if you believe calories make you fat, you explain why a little bit of mold toxin makes you fat on one-third less calories. So do you want to eat an animal that has xenoestrogen from toxic mold in it? No. Do you want to sleep in a bedroom that has zearalenone in the walls? No, because it messes with your hormones. When I was 26, I'd weighed up to 300 pounds. I got my first testosterone test, and the doctor called, his name was Dr. Miller, and he said, Dave, your testosterone is lower than your mother's. I was living in a house with zearalenone, and I had man boobs and everything to prove it. So there's a lot of people walking around, and they think, I'm just tired. Something's just wrong with me. My gut's off. No, it's your environment. And it could be toxins from man-made things, fire retardants and things like that, but it's much more likely to be toxic mold. And what I oftentimes ask people, oh, yeah, I just gained 25 pounds in the last 6 months. I go, when did you move? I go, 6 months ago. Where's the water stain in your house? Oh, it's on the ceiling. It's predictable. The worst thing is sometimes you can't see it. And this is where testing your environment might be more important than testing your blood, but you can do both.
When I got sick, I was out at Richie Shoemaker's office. You know, he's kind of the father of it. He's, you know, he discovered it, mold illness, and he put it on the map. And I've been to his clinic, taking clients to his clinic, and it's scary. And back then, you know, there wasn't that great of testing. There's better testing for the humans, like a mycotoxin test. 10 years ago, I priced it out because I'm like, it's not the mold, it's the mycotoxin, right? Yes and no, but I wanted a mycotoxin test to prove my point that there was mycotoxins in my house. It was $1,000 for one mycotest, yeah. One mycotoxin, the single, and it was that. But testing, both in the human body and in homes, is really progressing. So you can identify those toxins and realize that you're living in an environment that's there's no way of escaping. And here's the problem I face, Dave. And I talk to people about it and I tell them, I had a friend of mine that I work with. He's sick. His daughter's sick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do you have any mold in your house? My first question. And he goes, well, no. I'm like, well, do you ever get any water damage? Have you ever had any water damage? Well, every year my crawl space beneath my house floods.
Yep.
Every year. And then I literally have to take a pump and pump it out the front door.
That's a mold bomb house.
Yeah. I mean, your house needs to be, it's about a $200,000 fix, $150,000, $200,000 fix to fix it. But now he knows it's making his daughter sick. So what do we, he doesn't have the $200K. Does he move? Like how can, and so when you released the series Moldy, mm-hmm. I'm releasing the docuseries, you know, Home Sick Home, yep. which has the two episodes on mold. People watch it, or they might not even watch it, because once you understand that 70% of homes today, I would say, or more, have toxic levels of mold, how can people get it out, get motivated? It's a big expense. It's a big hurdle. We can dehumidify, we can spray it, there's good chemicals out there today, but what's the answer here?
Right now, there isn't a great answer.
Yeah.
If your home is full of mold, and you're sick, you need to move. And I know that it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed people in Moldy who were living in an RV. One person lived in a tent in the desert just to get away from mold. You probably don't have to go there. And it may sound dramatic, but when you're stuck in a moldy home, what you're going to feel is you just can't handle it. You just can't do it. It's too much.
It is too much, right? Yeah.
And you might be the one feeling nothing. And someone else is really sick, so you think they're just making it up. The most powerful interview that I did was with a couple. They're married, and they're both doctors, and they were building a home that was moldy. So every time they're in there, she'd get profoundly ill. And as a doctor, she knew, well, if you have more than 5 symptoms, you're a hypochondriac. She had 10 symptoms.
Oh, so with mold, you can have easily 10.
Oh, easily. So she said, well, what could this be? Because her body temperature was elevated, she knew it was real. So she biopsied every organ in her body that's expensive and painful and couldn't come to a conclusion. Finally discovered it was mold. And when they moved out of the moldy areas and fixed her biology, she was just fine. And her husband, who's a doctor, is sitting there going, I never felt anything, but this is totally real. And this is the problem. One person has headaches, another person has rashes, profound brain fog over here, digestive discomfort over here. So you think it's different things. And here's how mold actually works when it's in your environment or in your food. There's the mold itself, which irritates your immune system, mm-hmm. and it triggers something called mast cell activation syndrome. There's these little immune cells called mast cells, and their job is to be like landmines. They're supposed to sit there till there's a threat, then they explode and they destroy the threat and they release histamine and they release many other inflammatory molecules. And when we get chronically exposed to mold particles, not even the mycotoxins, just the mold itself, what it does is it sensitizes those mast cells. So imagine you have a landmine and it's only supposed to go off when a tank is over it, but now a puff of wind sets it off. And when it blows up, all the ones around it get blown up from that too. So you have these waves of inflammation that have widely differing symptoms in people. It's a primary cause of brain fog. On top of this effect, which chronic fatigue syndrome is usually that, it can come from other things like Epstein-Barr or long COVID, but it's basically these cells being overly sensitized. But on top of that, with mold, you get the direct toxin effect. And that means zearalenone is doing its work on your testosterone and your estrogen receptors. That means OTA is making your mitochondria unable to make energy. It means aflatoxins raising your cancer risk. And there's about a dozen other big mycotoxins. So, like, wow, I was poisoned and my immune system was irritated. So it's no wonder that I'm dysregulated. And dysregulation looks different in different people. And something else even more nefarious happens when people don't move out of moldy homes. The mold takes up residence inside your body in the what's called interstitial tissues. Mm-hmm. And then you move out of the moldy environment the first time, and it doesn't work because you took your couch and your bed that are full of mold. So you move the second time. And now anything that's porous, if you can't clean it, you just leave it behind, right? You leave your books. You leave a bunch of things that you didn't want to, but at least now you only have things that have no mold on them.
Yeah, and I had to do it.
Yep. I did too.
Yeah.
And you're starting to get better, but then you don't get all the way better. And it's because the mold is growing inside you.
It's gross.
And so this is a big part of what's happening in the mold community is you actually take antifungal drugs for a meaningful amount of time that kills the mold in you. And you go from being someone who can't walk into a moldy building without a panic attack. And I've seen this over and over in people to someone who can walk into a moldy building and go, oh, it's moldy in here. I'll be okay. And to fully heal, it can be quite a journey. But the role of this documentary or this docuseries is to share the knowledge about what are the things that are likely making you weak. And in biohacking, you want to be better. So you could say, I'm going to do things to make myself stronger. But that would be dumb. The first step is remove the things that make you weak. So you get out of the mold, calm down the mast cells, and deal with the toxins. And when you do that, you remove the things that are making you weak, and now you work on improving yourself. What do we do for the home itself when you move out? Well, let's say you can't move out. You can test where it is. You can find the leaks. And I've done this. I bought a moldy home on purpose because it was everywhere in Canada where I was looking, they were all moldy. We had to pull off the siding on half the house, remove stuff that had mold on it. We had to go to the sub-basement or the whatever, the crawl space. Mm-hmm. And we had to line it with swimming pool liner and put in dehumidifiers and paint it with anti-mold stuff. And it became a clean house. And my biggest request, if you have mold in your home, don't be the one who fixes it. When I was filming for Moldy, we went to a hurricane or a flood damaged home. It was really bad. We put on the Tyvek suits, the respirators, duct taped our gloves, the camera crew, and with me and our producer. And we went in to get some shots of cleaning up mold. And afterwards, I was such a zombie. I'm like, I feel so bad. And our producer, I'm so bad. And these young camera guys who are super healthy, they're all looking at each other going, man, we didn't think this was real, but we feel like crap. And this was with protective gear.
Yeah.
So if you're already sensitized, PPE. you need to get out. Some houses are just not worth it. And here's how big it can be. I had a leak, a slow leak behind a dishwasher in Palo Alto, where I used to live. We had the dishwasher replaced. Guy didn't say anything about the leak. The next day, all of the bad things I had in my health came back. My digestion went away. My skin broke out in all kinds of pimples. My brain fog was back. Emotional dysregulation. My dog stopped eating. Everyone in the house got sick, depression. And when we figured out it was the mold, yep, there was 10 feet of soaked wood underneath there. And they had to rip out the whole kitchen. And another time, my father dreamed of living in Alaska through the winter. So he rented this house on a river. Well, in Alaska, you have boiling water in kettles on fireplaces to humidify the air. And the house is sealed and it's really cold outside. So you get condensation inside
everywhere.
I was completely scrambled for 3 months after being there for 5 days. And my parents had all the signs, falling over, nosebleeds, frequent bruising, emotional dysregulation, chronic sinus infections, all the things that we know are mold these days. And they didn't move. About 6 months later, my dad had a heart attack. He had fully clear calcium score before he lived in that house. And he had fully blocked calcified arteries 6 months later. And mold is tied to cardiovascular things. It's tied to cancer. And there's a compound that's formed in a lot of these so-called healthy foods like spinach, kale, and it's called oxalate. Mm-hmm. Well, people who get mold, your body makes more oxalate, and oxalate makes calcium deposit in your tissues. So what does this mean? Number one, if you can get out of your place, move out. If you're renting it, break the lease. The landlord's going to be afraid that you accuse them of mold. You might need to have an attorney write an angry letter, but you'll get out.
Yep.
If you own the home, your insurance probably won't want to cover it. And so then you got to decide, how much is it going to cost to remediate it? Can I do it? Or do I sell the place? Do I get out? And I'll just tell you, getting your energy back, getting your brain back, especially if you have kids, it's not optional. And it's not a fun message to say.
We've got to find a way.
You can put in air filters. They help. Dehumidifiers help. Dusting meticulously, make sure there's no dust, really, really helps, because dust is a major vector. It can actually go in through your lungs or through your skin.
The biotoxins, and they attach to those dust particles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's also a product called Homebiotic.
Mm-hmm.
This is an environmental probiotic. It costs like $25. You can spray it around, and it's soil bacteria that naturally compete with mold. It's not a full remediation, but it helps to keep mold levels down. And it definitely stops mold from growing in showers and things like that. So it's a low cost way of at least helping. You're going to need to get a humidistat, something that tells you what's the humidity in the house. And you can look online. What are the ranges? If it's too low or too high, mold is more likely to grow. So maintaining the right humidity.
Do you think that on that one, I always say keep it below 50%. At least for 12 of the hours, right? Because I think once you get it 50 or above, so if it hits 50 or 55, but if it's not sitting there for 24 hours at that level, but I always tell people try to keep it below, you know, 50% if you can, if not most of the time below 50%.
The problem with recommendation like that.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Is that asking. Most people here, if something's bad, the level of zero is good.
You'll say,
you know, cortisol is bad for you. I want low cortisol. Well, low cortisol is four times more deadly than high cortisol. Mm-hmm. So it has to be in the right range. If humidity goes too low, I don't remember the low range, it's like 20-25%. Yeah. It also increases the risk of a different kind of mold. Mm-hmm. So there's a window, and you can easily find that online. Mm-hmm. And what you want to do is get your humidity there and look for areas of condensation and then do something about those. And maybe it's a fan. Maybe it's changing a window that leaks. But recognizing the sources of water and getting those out, that's step number one. Figure out anything that's making dust, likely your bedspread, likely your cloth couch, things like that. They might have to go, or maybe be professionally cleaned is a possibility. And if you do that, you may find you're so much better off. The other thing that's just tragic is HVAC systems. Mm. They're usually full of mold. So you should get that professionally cleaned when you're not in the home and run HEPA filters afterwards. And if you can afford it, getting a UV sterilizer and a better filtration system is a really good idea. And these things are going to help the vast majority of people. But it affects even new builds. It affects like Erin Brockovich.
Yeah.
There's a famous movie, and she fought against the pesticide companies and won. She bought an $8 million house and it had mold in it and it made her sick. Right. So it's not about if is the house nice, does it look good?
No one's safe from mold.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I went up into these. I remember going to HVAC units in Florida. Mm-hmm. And I was aggressive. I was so mad at mold. And I would rip it open and there'd be a stack mm-hmm. of just black dust and dirt. I mean, I went into this one and I was shining inside. I mean, it's coated with dust and dirt. And so there's mold. But I'm doing better than I thought. Third room, you know, I hit the front desk.
I should have brought you some Homebiotic.
Yeah.
So I have trouble with that stuff because just sometimes you just can't get away from it.
Yeah.
And another thing that's worth Airbnbs, people who own them turn off the AC. So the house is sitting still, it's empty for a week or two, and there's moist, wet air. And what does mold like to eat? Drywall and anything made out of fabric. So you're likely to get mold in an Airbnb. I live in Austin, Texas, which is a very high mold town.
Yeah, very humid.
And I leave my AC on 24/7. I don't have it super chilled, but I leave it on because it's dehumidifying the home. So if I'm out, I set the temperature up to 78. Right? And I do that because if I let the house go up to 110 when it's high humidity, I will have a moldy house in 3 days. That's just how it works.
It's pretty simple. Mold needs moisture and water and food.
Yep. You know,
I mean, the house I have now is concrete, steel, still has some drywall, but I have mini splits. Mm-hmm. So no more HVAC. I won't do it. I'm a mini split man all the way, and I can clean those, and they still get moldy.
Yep.
One of my daughter's room, I let it go too long, and you could go and you could smell it. And then I spray. I have a chemical. There's a company. I forget the name of the company, but they have. It's a strong oxidizer is what it is.
HOCl or is it the peroxide-based one?
I think it's the peroxide-based one.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, it's a good one. He has a bunch of people. We did a bonus interview in the Homesick Home series with him because he's local. Smart guy. His name's Mike, something like that.
Here's the issue.
But it fixed it.
I want people to understand, if it's drywall, bleach or hydrogen peroxide on drywall will make it worse.
Yes, that's important.
Don't do that. And if you do that, the moisture goes into the wall and feeds the mold that's not on the surface. You kill the surface mold and then you feed the mold that's inside. So the trick is, how do you introduce something that's going to stop mold from growing? And just sealing it all in there, there's still a back of the drywall. So if you can, removing the drywall is a really good idea and putting new drywall back in when
removing is always the best way. I mean, some of these mold fogging companies, you know, they say, we'll make it better without removing. I'm like, you still have the mold spore. You still have the DNA. Like, there's all kinds of risks still, I think. I got to have full removal, in my opinion.
It's full removal if you can afford it. If you can't, you do your best.
Yeah, you do your best.
We did a study of homebiotic. We had raw drywall at 30 degrees centigrade. That's really hot. And 99% humidity. And we inoculated the drywall with toxic black mold. And in 3 or 4 days, the control sample is totally covered in black mold. The other one where we sprayed the environmental probiotic homebiotic on it, it lasted for 2.5 weeks without the toxic mold being able to grow, because those bacteria will eat the mold. They're called hyphae, but they're like mold roots, and it directly eats mycotoxins. So it's an interesting strategy to say, well, what if we use what Mother Nature uses to create balance in soil, to create balance inside your home? So I wouldn't want to remediate my home with that, but do I spray areas where there's condensation? Or if I'm in a moldy hotel room, do I spray it around and wait a little while? I feel better when I do that. So it's a way. There's also ozone. If you don't have lots of rubber and plastic and you don't have pets or plants, you can shock treat a home with high levels of ozone. Breathing ozone at that level will damage your lungs. So you have to be really careful.
Yeah.
And you can do that. And then you come home, open all the windows, hold your breath. Make sure you don't breathe it. You will cough and hack and probably throw up. But if you do that, let it air out properly, it'll oxidize a lot of the toxins. It'll kill the spores, but the spores themselves still trigger mast cell activation. So you still have to clean up, no dust, air filters, all that.
Yeah. Dusting your home. I think that's one of the big things. People will spray and do mold remediation. I know I bought a moldy home and had a huge wall, but it was concrete, glass. And I'm like, and I was strong enough at the time. I knew this was the home that I wanted to have my family in. So I did the mold remediation. We were living in my home in Pennsylvania. So I just did all the remediation while we weren't there. No, nothing. And then I opened it up, did, you know, air exchanges, and we wiped down every surface, flat surface. The house still, even after that, I've had it tested and there's still remnants still laying around, and I did another dusting. But it made a difference. I finally conquered a moldy home, and that was one of my goals for my mental state, because I was very fearful mold. You know, I've texted you a few times where I'm like, Dave, I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
It's kind of funny. Once someone's been exposed and sensitized, and again, there's 100 million homes, and that means there's probably at least 100 million people who have some degree of this going on, and probably 30 million people who have serious problems with this. So this is also common in schools. They never maintain schools, right? So kids are exposed to terrible mold. So it's easy to say, well, every time I walk in one of these places, I feel really unwell, and I don't feel well for a long time. In fact, when I was filming Moldy, my producer, who was mold sensitive and didn't know it, she walked into a basement that had been flooded. I wouldn't even go down there. I already knew what that would do to me. And she came out and she had a full panic attack. Like, she said, I don't know what's going on. And this is a physiological response. This is not about people being dramatic. And once that happens, your body, your nervous system, it knows that mold is dangerous. So it feeds you all these emotional signals around mold. And when you're fully able to control the mold in your home, and when you heal your body and you heal your nervous system, mold isn't scary anymore. It's just a thing in the environment, just like tigers, just like other cars that can run into you. And it's something you're just aware of, and it's something that you manage, and you can do it from a place of peace. And it's a lot easier that way. But it took me a long time, because I was one of those guys, like, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to hold my breath and walk out of here. I got a mold story for you.
I like mold stories.
First time I'm ever in London, I decided I was going to take the tube for something or another, which is their equivalent of a subway. This thing was so crazy moldy. My head was spinning. I was feeling so bad. And then I had to go down this long tiled tunnel with mold on the walls. And I'm like, I'm going to hold my breath because I'm kind of running.
Yeah.
And I've got this backpack on and like, I am going to die. Like I had that full on like panic mode. I can't breathe in here because I'm feeling my brain shut down. And if you think I'm being dramatic, this is what it feels like when you have mold. So I hear this voice. I'm like running up the escalator, like two stairs at a time. So I want to get out of this building. I want to go breathe air. And you hear this ghostly voice go, "Will the gentleman charging the escalator please stop?" And I was like, how do you pay for an escalator with a credit card? Because that's what charging means right? In American English. And that charging meant running. So they're like, he's going to incite a panic because he's running up the escalator and they'll think he's a terrorist or something. But I was like, I don't know what's going on. And I literally sat on a bench for 2 hours after that, just going like, I need to calm down. And then I had a bunch of espresso to try and calm down. Kind of helped.
It's a beautiful story. I was, Orlando Airport was after one of the hurricanes. And I knew it was moldy. I knew it was going to make me sick when I went through it. You could see black mold walking through the wasn't TSA then, it was, you know, whatever, the security checkout line. I was so scared because I was very sensitive at the time. One hit like that could take me out for a week. Yep. We were training doctors at the time. I'm like, damn it. You know, so I put on PPE when it wasn't cool and slapped it on and would walk through. We got the looks. We had people wanting to fight us on the planes. I'd wear on the plane, but I was so—
Pre-COVID.
Way pre-COVID. Wow. We're talking like 2008.
Wow, they want to fight you? What did they say?
Just making fun of us for doing it. A lot of hate for wearing masks.
You didn't know the magic words. I have projectile gonorrhea. If you say that, they back away like 10 steps and you're totally—
Dude, I have a I have an STD that if I breathe on you, you'll get it.
Yep.
You know, or something. Yeah, no, I almost had to break up a fight. It wasn't with me, it was with my business partner at the time. Picked on him and he has more of a short fuse than I did. I'd have been like, sorry, dude. Yeah, I'm a mess. Like, I would just diffuse it. But, you know, he was a little tougher than me. So I've been there, right? Avoiding mold is a plague. You know, even in the Bible, the ancient texts, they clearly say they knew it then. And other texts talk about it, that this stuff is life-altering. We can talk about the building materials. We can talk about how the real estate industry is scared of it, how, you know, we don't have regulations in Europe. They don't have as much as a mold problem, but they still have it, but nearly as much.
The reason they don't have as much of a problem is they treat their soil better and they have better regulations. The stuff that's illegal to sell there will eat. So peanuts and nuts are major sources. Dried fruits are major sources. Beer and wine are major sources. And any grain is going to have meaningful amounts of mold in it. It's one of the many reasons that people feel better when they take grains out. The cleanest grain by far is white rice. It has very little mold in it. And in the US, we do weird things. When you spray glyphosate on the soil, it causes a soil fungus called Fusarium to become much more aggressive, but it moves in, so it makes more toxins called fusaricins, and it moves into the roots of the corn and basically bonds with them. And that means the corn, when it grows and it doesn't look moldy, it contains high levels of mold toxins. But if you test it, the corn will test to be a low mold because it's mold toxins, fusarium, bound to sugar in the corn. And as soon as you eat that corn and your digestion breaks the sugar bond, you now have mold toxins. It's one of the reasons corn is something that triggers way more people than it did before. And similar problems in wheat. And so what's going on here is eating fewer grains or no grains is probably a really good thing to lower mold in your diet. One of the largest sources for mold, because we drink a lot of coffee, it is coffee. And that's why Danger Coffee, lab tested, mold free. Sometimes if you just don't want to eat something, there's probably a reason. Your body will tell you if something is moldy, if those berries that have been in the fridge for a while, maybe just don't eat them. Right. And
well, talk to me about, I know this is, I have this question because I don't know the answer. Moldy berries and mold on food, like, you know, the grandfathers of the world, the older dads of the world, that's fine, you know, put some salt on it sort of thing, eat it anyway. How toxic is mold on strawberries?
It depends on which mold grows on the strawberries.
Yeah.
The answer is you don't know.
I always throw it away. I don't know.
If you eat moldy food, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Grandfathers did a lot of dumb stuff. Like, you can see it's moldy. You can taste it's moldy. It will have a biological effect on you. And you can say, well, I'll just walk it off. Yeah, walk off the tumors. Because if you look in hundreds of studies, There's a direct link between mold and diabetes, mold and cardiovascular disease, and mold and cancer. In fact, the most cancerous substance we know of, cancer-causing substance, is aflatoxin, which is a common mold toxin. So if you're saying, well, I eat a lot of these plant-based foods, I'm eating corn and wheat and even some of the superfoods, these are high mold crops. And the U.S. does have limits for some of those, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't mean that that exact batch met that definition, and it doesn't mean it was stored properly after it was tested. So I found that the fewer high likely to be moldy foods that I eat, the better off I am. And if you're saying, well, what about moldy cheese? Well, let's talk about Roquefort blue cheese, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a toxin in it called Roquefortisin that is documented. Does that mean you shouldn't eat it? No. It means if you eat a lot of it, it's bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people should know about mold, but they don't, is that when you're exposed to mold, it has antibiotics in it. That's where antibiotics are from. So if you breathe mold, the bacteria in your sinuses, usually there's a streptococcus, is where strep throat comes from, it will sense that there's a threat from the mold and it'll form a biofilm. It's called strep throat. I had strep throat dozens and dozens of times as a kid because I was in a moldy basement. So the presence of the mold makes the bacteria more aggressive. And if you have frequent infections, that the root cause can be immunosuppression from mold, and it can be the mold itself talking to the bacteria in your gut or in your sinuses in order to make them more aggressive as well.
That whole topic of how parasites and bacteria and mold actually talk to your to the other parts of your body is such, it's mind-blowing how complicated things are. And we could go off and we're gonna wrap up, but we talk about how we destroy our soils and the bacteria, and it's the breath of life, of what this universe is meant to be. It's sad. It truly is sad, and we're destroying our bodies, we're destroying our soils, and if we could get this terrain fixed, we could be growing healthy grains again, ancient grains and emmer wheat and countries, it seems to me, countries that care about food and how they dry it and how they process it, and they're it's part of their culture. That's part of their pride. They take really good care of the food, and they know that we don't want to grow mold on this. And animals know we don't eat. I watched a documentary the other day. If it's a stagnant pool, you dig on the side where the water's filtered because it's going to make you sick. But in America, we're being fed food that's a stagnant pool that we shouldn't be drinking out of. Yeah. And we're doing it anyway. Meanwhile, folks like you, folks like us are saying, no, you need to drink fresh water. You got to dig next to the cesty pool and find life again. So this is there's a bigger mission just than talking about mold, but our food system is poisoned.
Yeah.
And we're at a critical spot.
Mold's job is to eat things that are dead or dying. And one of the rules of biohacking is don't eat food that won't spoil and don't eat food that is spoiled. And if your health is wrecked because of mold, mold recognizes that you're dying and it's going to grow in you. And if we poison our plants with glyphosate, the plants become weaker, and then the mold says, it's time for me to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a delicate and beautiful balance here. You want healthy plants, you want healthy animals, you want healthy humans, and then mold does its job, which is to break down dead stuff in the soil. It's the fact that we've weakened our soil, our plants, our animals, and ourselves that allows mold to become such a problem.
That's beautiful. Well, I think we covered the topics that we want to, Dave. I know you have other things that we could discuss all day. I love the information. I love your brain. You trap this stuff. You're definitely not moldy anymore. Your brain is optimized.
I like to think all that biohacking did something.
It did. You're accessing all your unconscious mind. Yeah. You're able to access information and bring it. And you brought it today on this show. I've been honored to have you here. Look forward to, I think everyone knows where to find you, but all your Instagram handles and YouTube channels and to learn from you.
Dave.Asprey on Instagram, Danger Coffee to get your mold-free coffee, and DaveAsprey.com has thousands of articles, including a bunch about mold in your house and in your food and in your body. And for me, it's personal. I don't want anyone to go through all the hell I went through because of mold. And I did MoldyMovie.com just as a gift for people. And this docuseries that you're doing is critically important because it's not just mold, it's all the other toxins. And you've got such a great mind. You understand the whole ecosystem of toxins. So anyone who watches this series, you don't have to do everything in it. Just do enough that you feel better. And then everything gets easier. So thanks to you for the work you're doing.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Dave. Blessings, brother. Thank you.
Blessings.